Would the House come to order? Would the members please indicate their presence by voting? Oh, you better let the clerk in. Yep, open the doors there and let them in. Okay, the House has been called to order. Would the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk take the roll?
27 members present.
We have a quorum present to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. No one is excused from the call of the House today.
Okay. Our chaplain today is Pastor John Campbell. Will the members please rise for the invocation?
Let us pray. We have set our hope on you, our living God, as those who set course for home from distant places. But we need your help if we are to keep on course. We need fresh sight of you on which to check our bearings. May these moments be a checkpoint for us. Show us where we are and where we should be. You are near as well as far, accompanying as well as beckoning. Make this a meeting place between our minds and your mind, so that we may see the controlling interest in human affairs is yours. Living God, you declare yourself to be the Savior of all. You know in full what we only know in part. If you do not rescue us from our egotism and complacency, who will? If you do not purify our motives and shake us out of the sentimentality of our usual hopes and fears, who will? May your declared purposes get through to us today, O God. Living God, you declare yourself to be the Savior of all. Save us from arrogance. Save us from the force of all that we are up against. Show us how to have divided opinions without having divided loyalties. May your declared purposes get through to us today, O God. There are many whose lives are crippled and inhibited by illness, ignorance, bitterness, and grief, by exploitation and by envy, by physical or mental handicap. We know and love some of these persons. You know and love them all. Take them into the care and skill of your own hands. Help us to be your own hands, so that everything that happens may come to serve the purposes of your love and your design for humanity may be fulfilled in all its beauty. Guide us through the fear and perplexity of another day, that in the end we may serve you and your people. Amen.
Representative Boucher, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent to prayer be spread on the journal.
Are there any objections as to having the prayer spread across the journal? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Would the clerk at this time please certify the journal for the 115th legislative day?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 115th day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Journal for the 115th legislative day as certified be approved.
Are there any objections as to the correctness of the journal before you? Hearing no objection, the journal stands approved. Guest for introduction, Representative Hudson.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Representative Ulmer and I have several very distinguished visitors in Gallery B this morning, and I'd like to introduce them to you, and I'd like to say something about the the first lady that I'm going to introduce, because I think she's very special, not only to those of us here in Juneau, but to those of you throughout Southeast Alaska and Alaska. And so I'll introduce her first and ask her to stand up, and we'll give her hopefully a good welcome, and then I'll introduce the rest of the people with her. This is a woman whom we recently honored as a bio-legislative citation for 15 years of dedicated missionary work in Southeast Alaska. She's a person who's been involved in the glory hole since its inception. She's been counseling the poor and the young and the elderly, and especially the homeless people here in Juneau and throughout Southeast Alaska. And she's also a visitor who recently was bestowed the prestigious National Light of Christ Award, which was presented to her in Chicago very recently. And finally, she's a person who's leaving Alaska soon for a new mission in Bolivia. And fellow legislators and Mr. Speaker, would you join me in welcoming Sister Margaret McCarthy to these chambers? Would you stand, please? And following that, Representative Ulmer, and I also have Bishop Michael Kinney, whom I think most of you have heard speak up ahead of here, and very distinguished, and perhaps I'll read these off, and then they can all stand, and we'll give them an applause. And Chris Riley, who's the editor of the Inside Passage, works out of the Juneau Diocese office, and Sister Helena, who works in the Marriage Tribunal section of the diocese, and Sister Kathy, who works in the Office of Ministries in the diocese. Would they all stand, and can we welcome them, please? Thank you.
Representative Boyer.
That's, Mr. Speaker, thank you. That's a hard act to follow, but most appropriately for me, though, in Gallery B also, I have a woman who's been very, very dear to me over the years, and second only to my mother and the things that I've learned from her over the years, a woman who's been involved in the construction industry in Alaska for many, many years, and politics in the state, and I think actually a mother to many people around the state, Helinka Bryce.
Any further guests for introduction? Messages from the governor.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has passed the following, and they've been sent to enrolling. House Joint Resolution Number 31 relating to the Siberian Crossing and Cultural Exchange. House Concurrent Resolution Number 23, 19th Annual Girls State. And House Concurrent Resolution Number 24, 21st Boys State. The Senate has passed Committee Substitute for House Bill 46 Rules with the following amendment. Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 46, Labor and Commerce, Regulation of Insurance Effective Date, and is returned for consideration. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 196, Rules by the Rules Committee, Enact relating to Management of State Land and Providing for an Effective Date.
One Standing Committee, Resources.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 206, Rules amended by the Rules Committee, an act relating to the Alaska Power Authority and providing for an effective date.
Resources, Judiciary, and Finance.
Senate Bill 237 by Curtula, an act providing that assistance to authorities to direct, apprehend, or prosecute other persons is conduct constituting a mitigating factor in criminal sentencing.
One Standing Committee, Judiciary.
Senate Bill 290 by Eliason, an act relating to supplying false information on fish tickets.
Resources and the Judiciary Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any other communications to come before this body?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further communication, this brings us down the daily order of business to reports of standing committees.
The Transportation Committee has considered House Concurrent Resolution 18, a special report on long-term operations of the Alaska Railroad, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 18, Transportation, with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Cato Chairman, concurring Hudson, Cato, Springer, and Pierce. House Concurrent Resolution Number 18 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Transportation Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 32, completion of the Mackenzie Highway between Fort Simpson and Inuvik, Northwest Territories, Canada. Recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Cato, Chairman, concurring Hudson, Cato, Springer, and Pierce. House Joint Resolution Number 32 has no further referral. The Hess Committee has considered House Bill 80, benefits in the teacher's retirement system for part-time teachers. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 80 Hess with the same title. Recommends it do pass and attaches a zero note with analysis. Report was signed by the co-chairs Kopanen and Ellis. Signing do pass, Phillips, Hanley, Ellis, Grunberg, and Kopanen. Having no recommendation, Hudson and Donnelly. House Bill 80 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 187, Geographic Pay Differentials. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 187, Finance, with a new title. Reports it back as follows and attaches a finance letter of intent and a fiscal note. Report was signed by Adams, Chairman, signing do pass, Adams, Wallace, and Rieger. Having no recommendation, Swackhammer, Boyer, Larson, Brown, Davis, and Frank. House Bill 187 has no further referral. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 308, Voter Registration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 308, State Affairs, with the same title. Recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Ulmer, Chairman, signing do pass, Boucher, Menard, Hoffman, Martin, Donnelly, and Ulmer. Having no recommendation, Davidson. House Bill 308 has no further referral. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered Senate Joint Resolution 28 relating to housing programs of the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Springer, Chairman, signing do pass, Sawacki, Collins, and Springer. Senate Joint Resolution Number 28 has no further referral. Transportation Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 36, Transportation, relating to passenger and air cargo service to Anchorage by Korean Airlines, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Cato, Chairman, concurring Pierce, Hudson, Springer, and Cato. Senate Joint Resolution Number 36 has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered committee substitute, the Finance Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 9, Resources, financing of fish processors and agricultural and timber processors and harvesters by the Commercial Fishing and Agriculture Bank. Recommends it be replaced with House committee substitute for Senate Bill 9, Finance, with the same title. Reports it back as follows with a zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Adams, Chairman, signing do pass, Larson, Swackhammer, Rieger, Frank, and Davis. Having no recommendation, Adams, Porchot, Gall, Wallace, Brown, and Boyer. Senate Bill 9 has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered Senate Bill 88, increases or surcharges to automobile insurance premiums. Recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 88, Labor and Commerce, with the same title. Recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Ulmer, Vice Chair, concurring Ulmer, Grunberg, Cotton, and Navarre. Senate Bill 88 appears on today's calendar. The Transportation Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 146, Transportation, Weights and Measures, Citation Authority of Employees Enforcing Weights and Measures Limitations, and recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 146, Transportation, with the same title. Recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Cato, Chairman, concurring Springer, Pierce, Hudson, and Cato. Senate Bill 146 has a further referral to the Labor and Commerce Committee. The State Affairs Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 156, State Affairs, relating to contributions from permanent fund dividends for political parties, and reports it back as follows. Report was signed by Ulmer, Chairman, signing do pass, Boucher, Menard, and Davidson. Having no recommendation, Hoffman, Donnelly, Martin, and Ulmer. Senate Bill 156 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The State Affairs Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 173, State Affairs, contributions from permanent fund dividends to the Community School Grant Fund, and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Ulmer, Chairman, signing do pass, Boucher, Menard, Davidson, and Ulmer. Having no recommendation, Hoffman and Martin. Senate Bill 173 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The State Affairs Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 180, State Affairs, contributions from permanent fund dividends for the World Eskimo Indian Olympics, and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Ulmer, Chairman, signing do pass, Boucher, Menard, Ulmer, and Davidson. Having no recommendation, Donnelly and Martin. Senate Bill 180 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The House Committee is considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 195, Finance, making an appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services, Division of Public Health, for the Alaska AIDS Program, recommends it do pass and adopts a House Hess letter of intent and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by the co-chairs, Kopanen and Ellis, concurring Phillips, Hanley, Ellis, Kopanen, Hudson, and Grunberg. Donnelly has no recommendation. Senate Bill 195 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The State Affairs Committee is considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 201, State Affairs. Local Agricultural and Fisheries Product Preference recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 201, State Affairs, with the same title, and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Ulmer, Chairman. Signing do pass, Donnelly, Davidson, Martin, and Ulmer. Hoffman has no recommendation. Senate Bill 201 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The State Affairs Committee is considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 227, State Affairs, claims of state agencies to permanent fund dividends, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 227, State Affairs, with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note and a zero note with analysis. Report was signed by Ulmer, Chairman, signing do pass, Martin, Hoffman, Ulmer, and Davidson. Senate Bill 227 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
Dear Madam President and Mr. Speaker, the Conference Committee considering Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 75 Finance and CS for SSHB 75 Finance, the budget, respectfully requests limited powers of free conference on the following specific points, and it says see attached. The report was signed by the Senate members Bennett, Binkley, and Hensley, and by the House members Adams, Porchot, and Rieger. The attachment has been placed on each member's desk, Mr. Speaker.
At this time, the chair will give limited powers of free conference in relation with our conference committee on Senate Committee Substitute to Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 75 Finance. The limited powers of free conference will be confined to the items that are attached to the letter as signed by our members of the conference committee and also by the members of the Senate Conference Committee. Mr. Majority Leader, the House stand at ease. Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, the chair had just granted limited powers of free conference in relation with the budget. Are there any further special orders or special committee reports? Representative Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I please request that we return to introductions?
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, proceed, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I would like to introduce to the body some visitors to Alaska. It's their first trip to Alaska. They're from Castroville, California, the artichoke capital of the world. And I ask you to please help me join Marino and Wilma Kersey in Gallery A.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Swackhammer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative R and I have a constituent and a friend here from Kenai, Dana Hallett, who is a special ed teacher and involved with Kenai Peninsula Education Association. Help me welcome you.
Any further guests for introduction? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we go back up the calendar as a roll call?
Are there any objections? Mr. Majority Leader.
I see that one of our members is ill today. I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Barnes be excused from the call of the House for illness.
Representative Barnes is ill. Are there any objections? She is excused from the call of the House. This brings us back down the daily order of business to reports of special committees.
I have no further reports of special committees, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Sherry Wick Grant by Representatives Hudson and Ulmer and Senator Duncan. Citation honoring Joseph M. Jackson by Representatives Ellison Brown and Senators Josephson and Ewing.
Those citations will be referred to rules for calendaring.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 27 with the Governor's Transmittal Letter by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor relating to the visit to Alaska by Governor Ho Ji of the province of Heilongjiang and the special relationship between that province and the state of Alaska.
Rules Committee.
House Concurrent Resolution 28 by Wallace, suspending Uniform Rules 41B, 24C, and 35 of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill Number 162.
One Standing Committee, Rules.
I have no further resolutions for your introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to introduction, first reading, and reference to House bills.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 137 by Brown, Ellis, Davis, Frank, Swackhammer, and Menard. An act relating to the duration and financing of election campaigns.
State affairs, judiciary, and finance.
House Bill 313 by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to insurance rate filings.
Labor and Commerce and the Judiciary Committee.
House Bill 314 by Herman by request, an act relating to the allocation of fisheries business taxes to municipalities.
Community and Regional Affairs, Resources, and the Finance Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I would ask for a recess for a minority caucus in the Butrovich room. We will be brief and hopefully back in 15 minutes or so.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There'll be an equally brief majority caucus in the Speaker's chambers.
Okay. The House stands in recess. Will the House come back to order? Before the IDEs, we're about to enter into the daily calendar. Are there any objections moving back up the calendar to reports of special committees? Under the special committee report, when I gave the limited powers of free conference to our conferees in relation with the budget, there was one item on the list that was missed, and that is the Office of the Ombudsman. So at this time, we'll include on that list the Office of Ombudsman in relation with limited powers of free conference. Representative Sund.
Speaker, could we go up the calendar to introduction of guests?
Are there any objections? Hearing none.
Mr. Speaker, it gives me a great deal of honor here to introduce to the body a good friend and a past former member of this body from the Mat-Su area, but former Representative Katie Hurley's in Gallery B.
Representative Hurley is a distinguished member of this body. Would you care to share with us a few words of wisdom in our final hours? Thank you. Representative Springer.
Gallery B is a longtime friend of mine. He's from Fairbanks. Please help me welcome Jack Meese.
Guest for introduction, Representative Navarre.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, a friend and constituent of Representative Swackhammer and mine is the mayor of the city of Kenai, honorable mayor of the city of Kenai, most of the time.
John Williams.
Representative Donnelly.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also in Gallery B is Marie Motchman. Marie's a former intern with my office, and she's coordinating intern activities with the University of Alaska for next year. So if you have thought about having an intern in your offices next year, Marie's a good person to talk to.
Any further guests for introduction? This brings us back down to the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill Number 14 by Kopanen, Ellis, Grunberg, Davidson, and Ulmer, an act establishing a state employee incentive award system. The State Affairs Committee has considered the bill and recommends It do pass and attaches a zero note with analysis. The report was signed by Ulmer, chairman, signing do pass, Boucher, Davidson, Donnelly, and Ulmer. Menard signed do pass, I would like this handled through the governor's office, and Martin has no recommendation. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 14 and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 14 Finance with the same title. Recommends it do pass and attaches a finance letter of intent and a zero note with analysis. Report was signed by Adams, chairman, signing do pass, Porcheau, Swackhammer, Davis, Frank, and Gall. Signing do not pass, Adams. Having no recommendation, Rieger and Boyer. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having one committee substitute, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the House adopt the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 14.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the CS Finance? Hearing no objections, the committee substitute finance has been adopted. Does the clerk have any further amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 14 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Are there any objections to the motion to advance from second to third reading? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Committee Substitute for House Bill 14 Finance by the Finance Committee, an act establishing a state employee incentive award system.
Third reading, under debate. Representative Hudson.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to say that I think that the best incentive that we can provide for our employees, the best incentive award we could possibly do, would be to go back and adopt the Senate version in free conference, put the $40.8 million back in there where it belongs, instead of removing it arbitrarily at the table. Thank you.
Any further debate on the bill? Representative Schultz.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. On this incentive award system, if I was in the military one time, and they had the same thing, and asking for suggestions, et cetera, which I gave a strong recommendation at that time, suggestion, to the company commander, and I was put on hard duty for quite some time. And I think that possibly that you may end up, and I think that you'll get some good suggestions, but I wonder what the ramifications are going to be to some of the state employees, because there are a lot of state employees out there right now that are working that are very dissatisfied with the people they are working for or the higher echelon of the bureaucracy. When they start making recommendations that I believe so-and-so should be, their job should be eliminated, et cetera, what kind of ramifications is that going to have on them? So sometimes these incentive programs don't exactly work in the manner in which we would like to think that they should work. I'd like to have a little bit more explanation from the sponsor as to what this is all about.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was hoping to be able to observe the Parker rule and not talk at too great a length. However, a number of states, including the federal government, have established monetary program incentive programs to encourage workers to bring useful ideas to the to the state for improvement. For example, a New York State employee found a way to save nearly $500,000, $419,000, on the agency ventilation system. In Missouri, a janitor suggested a method of installing a new lighting system that cost only $400 instead of $3,400. We can go on reciting a whole slew of these possibilities. The legislation is consistent with AS 3925-250, which requires development of programs for the improvement of employee effectiveness and morale. In most cases, a cash award is going to be limited to $10,000. In unusual cases where, let's say, dealing with counting of royalty oil, where we can have millions of dollars or even billions of dollars involved, it does provide for a possible $25,000 award. The recent survey of state practices for recognizing managerial performance provide a great deal of evidence for this kind of program as reaping positive benefits for the state. Now, these are individual awards given one time in one year. They're not built in, and they are based on the monetary savings of that particular suggestion. I wish to thank the Finance Committee for the great deal of effort that they put into it and for their letter of intent, which answers many of the questions from the representative from Chicken, because many of these cannot be written into the statute so much as written into regulation. And the letter of intent requests that the regulations include a system to protect the confidentiality and impartial review of all suggestions and to establish a time review. In other words, to provide for a channel that goes past the immediate supervisor. And we know, all of us, that the chain of command in some state agencies is very attenuated, where you have perhaps one supervisor supervising another supervisor who's supervising a third supervisor who has three employees under them. And this may be not exactly the best way to operate things, and the suggestion from the bottom rank may be indeed to collapse that chain of command. The members of the board should take part in a training seminar. This is not in addition to the typical managerial performance seminar that the state gives, but similar to that. The regulations should provide that the incentive award shall be computed on the actual savings for a 12-month period from the time that the proposed change is instituted, and the award would be paid in a lump sum at the end of that time. And we should then have overview of the entire program, continuing publicity, the awarding of plaques and the usual kind of recognition that people are given. Too often, state employees work hard, come up with good ideas, and at this time they neither receive an award nor recognition. And I think that this will help bring the individual state employee another way of bringing their ideas forth, having them recognized, having them put into effect, and receiving an adequate compensation for their efforts. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To answer the question of the representative from District 17, the specific question, this bill goes hand in hand with House Bill 168, which we passed a few weeks ago, that will protect the rights of public employees who bring to light necessary reforms and then are penalized for it by their employers. And that's the whistleblower bill. And I think that both pieces of legislation deserve passage because one encourages and the other protects.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm very much supportive of the whistleblower bill because I realize a lot of good employees got burned because they told the truth. And now perhaps we haven't protected. But philosophically, I just don't agree with this one here, because I think that if you pay an employee a decent salary for whatever their specialty is, they are inherently of the feeling that they want to do a good job, that they want to correct weaknesses that they see within their office or within other offices. And because of a decent pay schedule, that they are willing to express their thoughts without being in conflict with their superior. And I know we need to address that idea too, because a lot of people have good ideas and express them to their superior, and before they know it, they get a bad mic in their record as a troublemaker or something like that. So there's many more important problems to solve before we get to this one here, which I feel is going above and beyond the need to encourage our employees to make good suggestions at any level they want. Right now, one of the major problems we have is the meritorious pay raise that's automatic every 3% every year, and this thing was supposed to be the solution a number of years ago to encourage people to excel. Well, now we found that 96% of the people excel every year and automatically get these pay increases. The other 4% will count out of active job vacant positions. So you might say that 100% of the people get the meritorious pay raise. We mentioned here in line 18, subsection 2, that perform a special act or service in public interest in connection with the employment. Well, that's the whole idea of getting employed in the first place. You're supposed to serve the people, and you're supposed to be nice about it, and do perhaps an extra phone call or write an extra note on their behalf. I don't want to have to give somebody a $10,000 award to show how to do that. One of the honorees is that, you know, from the citizens themselves, when you look on the page 3, line 10, we express what we mean by employees. Throughout my experience as a legislator, many, many good ideas have come from private citizens themselves who have experience going into various agencies and have seen probably because of their private employment, where they work at and how they handle different things. And then they suggest, you know, the public system ought to do that. So here we are leaving a very valuable source of information and ideas, the average citizen, and why not reward them for what they suggest? So I'm philosophically opposed to this because I think it's going to be another system that's going to be abused rather than really encourage the average good, dedicated worker to perform their duty to the best of their abilities, and now they may withhold until they get extra prizes. I feel that this is not the best legislation to encourage people to do their best job.
Representative Ulmer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to mention a portion of the bill for members who might get the impression from the remarks of the former speaker that this is somehow rewarding employees for doing their job. If you'll look on page 3 of the bill, the limitations on this award section: the board may not make an award to an employee for a suggestion that represents a part of the normal duties of the employee. I think it's a real important distinction in reviewing this legislation. We're not talking about giving an award to an employee for doing their job. We're talking about giving a special award to someone who goes above and beyond the responsibilities of his or her job, that finds a saving, that makes a suggestion regarding efficiency, something that is not within the scope of his or her job, but is unusually beneficial to the state of Alaska. And I think it is philosophically an important step in the right direction of recognizing those people who make an extraordinary contribution to the state of Alaska. And I would encourage people to vote for this bill. Thank you.
Representative Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On page 3, I'm looking at, starting on line 9, awards for former employees. And the question I have is if this is a bill that would hopefully inspire people to kind of make an extra effort. I guess I have a concern about making a payment to someone who was left government service. It seems to that they could get a citation rather than a payment. And I'd like to hear from one of the sponsors of the bill, perhaps why that was put in there.
Representative Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am also concerned about page 3 and the limitations on it, and I'd like to relate an experience I had some years ago with a state employee. The court system, a Boney building up there in and the one adjoining it in Anchorage was sweltering in the summer during some beautiful weather, and the temperature had risen in the courtroom to over 85 degrees, and the poor jurors I had in the juror box were starting to nod, and I was having a hard time too, and it was just unbearable. So I often talked to janitors and stuff, and I'd gotten to know one of these janitors, and I asked him, isn't there something he could possibly do? And he said, well, that the administration of the court had a study that they were doing, and an engineer had looked at it, and an architect had looked at it, and they were proposing some very expensive solutions on how to make that building's cooling system operate on a warm day. And I said, well, is there anything you can do to help us out right now? And he says, well, nobody ever asked me, but he said, they put the sensor on the north side of the building. So, of course, the sensor doesn't sense any heat because it's in the shade. He says, I think I can take care of it for you, Judge Taylor. And I said, well, that'd be wonderful. He says, but I'm going to need a little money. I said, what do you need? He said, well, I don't know. He said, maybe $15, $20. So I gave him $15, $20. And, gosh, a few, like half an hour later, the building started to cool down. And I saw him that afternoon. I said, what did you do? He said, well, I went down over to the Sears Roebuck store, and I bought a heating pad. And I taped the heating pad to the sensor on the back side, and I turned the heating pad on. And he said, of course, when we want the building to warm up, I'll go up and turn it off again. Now, I think he probably saved the state, from what I understand, $500,000 there, because there were studies going and architects were stirring around on how to redesign this thing. And I've never checked on it to see if these changes were ever implemented, but I'll make you a bet that today some janitor goes up there and turns on a heating pad whenever they want the building to cool down, and probably saved us a tremendous amount of money. My fear is that this could be interpreted that that guy was just doing his normal duties as an employee, and he might be precluded from this program, and I'd just like to make sure that a guy like that got something out of it. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 14 Finance pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Representative Barnes? Would the clerk...
I wonder if I have it locked out. I think I have an excuse.
Yeah. Okay, the roll call has been voided. Please, when we're in the middle of a vote, we do know that Representative Barnes has been excused from the call of the House and has been locked out. But please keep the no comments during the roll call. You could have stayed ill and avoided this. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 14 Finance pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
34 yeas, 4 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 14 Finance has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have a letter of intent. It is in the House Journal for April 10th, 1987. It is a Finance Committee letter of intent in the House Journal on that date. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House adopt the Finance Committee letter of intent from the House Journal of April 10.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the Finance letter of intent? Hearing no objection, the letter of intent has been adopted. Mr. Majority Leader?
Just for the record, that letter of intent appears at page 794 of the House Journal.
Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill 203 by Larson, Swackhammer, Kopanen, and Taylor. An act relating to forfeiture of weapons used to commit a crime. The Judiciary Committee has considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 203 Judiciary with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Omer, Chairman, signing do pass, Omer, Grunberg, Taylor, Navarre, Barnes, Cotton, and Sund. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 203 Finance with the same title, recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Adams, Chairman, concurring, Adams, Porcheau, Larson, Swackhammer, Boyer, Rieger, Gall, Frank, Wallace, and Davis. Brown has no recommendation. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having two committee substitutes, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House adopt the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 203.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the CS Finance? Hearing no objection, the committee substitute Finance has been adopted. Does the clerk have any further amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 203 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Are there any objections to the motion to advance? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Committee substitute for House Bill 203, Finance by the Finance Committee, an act relating to forfeiture of weapons used to commit a crime.
Third reading, under debate. Representative Larson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to just call each member's attention that I did place a letter on their desk basically outlining the bill, that the bill, of course, has had good support throughout all the committee hearings, and I'd encourage each and everyone to support this good piece of legislation. Thank you.
Any further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 203 Finance pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
37 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 203 Finance has passed the House. Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we revert back up the calendar to introduction of guests, please?
Any objections? Hearing none.
I have a constituent of mine from Kobuk who raced in the Iditarod from Kobuk, Alaska, Henry Horner. Please help me welcome.
Any further guests or introduction? Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 216 by Larson and Menard, an act relating to game farming. The Resources Committee has considered the bill and recommends it do pass and attaches a physical note. The report was signed by Cotton, Chairman, signing do pass, Cotton, Navarre, Sun, Davidson, Schultz, and Springer. Hoffman has no recommendation. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Adams, Chairman, signing do pass, Adams, Porchot, Larson, Swackhammer, Rieger, Frank, Brown, and Davis. Boyer signed do pass, but sounds like a lark to me. I have one amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Okay. Would the clerk please make reference to amendment number one?
Amendment number one by Hanley. It's on page one, line 12, and it has been placed on each member's desk.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number one and ask unanimous consent.
Hearing objections, Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I question the wisdom of including legislation, a provision for licensing reptile farming. I have no problem with the intent of the bill in lowering the license for game bird farming, but I really question whether we might have the potential of having reptiles loose outside the game farm, and wonder if this is a provision that we want to include in this bill. So my amendment would delete or game reptile, and line 12 would read game mammal farming by biennial license.
Any further debate on amendment number one? Representative Larson.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What we have before us is kind of a judgment call. I'm not going to speak for or against the amendment. I just want to read one brief little statement here and then make a remark on it. It says, because non-domestic mammals may not be farmed for commercial purposes and venomous reptiles may not be imported into the state, game farming in Alaska essentially applies only to game bird farming. What this statement basically says is that in relation to the reptiles here, the statutes are silent. If someone wishes to engage in reptile farming,
should they be made to pay a fee for license or not? Presently, it says no venomous reptiles. Any other type of reptiles, individuals, in my understanding here, can have that type of farming without having to obtain a permit or a fee or a license. So it's strictly a judgment call.
Any further debate on amendment number one? Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My only comment is in reviewing statute, I was not able to find anything that said that poisonous snakes or reptiles are not allowed. Perhaps that's in regulation, but I could find no reference in statute to prohibiting venomous reptiles.
Representative Larson.
Yes, thank you. I don't have the specific statute reference either. I just have a bill analysis that I had received in relation to that, and that's a comment made on that bill analysis that I just read.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Just a question for the sponsor of the amendment. There are, in my district, several pet stores, and several of them sell reptiles and specialize in reptiles. And these are harmless reptiles, various snakes and chameleons and things like that. And there are a number of people living in my district who have these as pets. It is not the intent of the amendment to prohibit people from having harmless reptiles as they do now, is it? I would just ask that question.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That is not my intent. I think my intent was to remove the reptile farming from the provision for a $200 license.
Representative Martin.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I usually don't speak against my colleague on things like this here, but I do feel more security with this license fee being here. We all know that in the state of Alaska we're very fortunate because of our climate to be virtually snake free, and people seem to like that. When you go camping, you don't have a reptile going over your nose in the middle of the night. But it seems to me that by leaving this in, the state will know if someone did apply for a license, and that would have a security there, where if we remove it as a license, then we won't have any idea of who may be starting reptile farms. So I'd feel more secure with this license being there, and someday when someone requests it, at least we know, have some idea in research who's doing what in reptile farming.
I'm ready for the question on amendment number one. Mr. Majority Leader. The House stand at ease. Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had amendment number one before us and under considerable debate. Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. During the at ease, there was a concern voiced that a pet store might be conceived to be a reptile farm if indeed the owner of that pet store was breeding snakes, or perhaps had the ability to breed snakes or something. And until we could define just exactly what a reptile farm is and be sure that pet stores are not included in the definition of reptile farm farming, I would ask the permission of the body to withdraw the amendment.
The amendment's in the possession of the body. Does anybody object to the withdrawal of amendment number one? Hearing no objection, amendment number one has been withdrawn. Does the clerk have any further amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. I ask unanimous consent that House Bill 216 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Are there any objection as to the motion to advance from second to third reading? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
House Bill Number 216 by Larson and Menard, an act relating to game farming.
Third reading, under debate. Representative Larson.
I was just going to comment that, Mr. Speaker, this really could become part of our revenue plan because it does have a positive fiscal note of about $1,000.
Representative Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to declare a conflict because if the fee's going down from $200 to $20 for game farming, and when I start my marmot farm to supply the marmots, I'll have a conflict.
I don't hear any objections. Hearing objections, the representative must vote.
Ready for the question? Shall House Bill 216 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
37 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 216 has passed the House.
Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill Number 88 by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to increases or surcharges to automobile insurance premiums. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with a House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 88, Labor and Commerce, with the same title, recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Donnelly, Chairman, concurring Davidson, Menard, Boucher, and Kopanen, having no recommendation, Furness, Donnelly, and Ellis. The Judiciary Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with a Labor and Commerce House Committee substitute and do pass. The report was signed by Omer, Vice Chairman, concurring Omer, Grunberg, Cotton, and LeVar. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having one committee substitute, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House adopt the House Committee substitute Labor and Commerce for Senate Bill Number 88.
Is there any objection as to the adoption of the House Committee substitute Labor and Commerce? Hearing no objection, the House Committee substitute Labor and Commerce has been adopted. Does the clerk have any amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Labor and Commerce House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 88 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Are there any objections to the motion to advance? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 88, Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to increases or surcharges to automobile insurance premiums.
Third reading, under debate. Are you ready for the question?
The question is, shall House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 88, Labor and Commerce, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the board? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
39 yeas, no nays.
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 88, Labor and Commerce, has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Senate Bill Number 187 by Duncan, an act relating to minimum electrical standards and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered the bill and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Donnelly, Chairman, concurring Boucher, Donnelly, Kopanen, Menard, and Ellis. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gull, are you seeking the floor?
Yes, please. I'd like to give notice of reconsideration on House Bill 216.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on House Bill 216. Okay, we have no amendments before us in second reading. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 187 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Are there any objection to the motion to advance from second to third reading? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Senate Bill 187 by Duncan, an act relating to minimum electrical standards and providing for an effective date.
Third reading under debate. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Senate Bill 187 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
39 yeas, no nays.
Senate Bill 187 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask the unanimous consent that the final vote, the vote on final passage of Senate Bill 187 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we revert to introduction of guests?
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed, Representative.
In Gallery A, Representative Swackhammer and I have another guest. He's the General Manager for Homer Electric Association, Kent Wick.
Any further guests for introduction? Brings us back down to the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the next item on that calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 23 CNRA by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, endorsing the application of the Department of Commerce and Economic Development for a Rural Development Assistance Demonstration Grant. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered the resolution and recommends it be passed. The report was signed by Springer Chairman, concurring Springer, Cato, Collins, and Herman. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered the resolution and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Donnelly, Chairman, concurring Boucher, Donnelly, Ellis, Menard, and Kopanen. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having no amendments, and it is a joint resolution, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 23 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Are there any objection to the motion to advance to third reading? Hearing no objection, would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 23 CNRA by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, endorsing the application of the Department of Commerce and Economic Development for a Rural Development Assistance Demonstration Grant.
Third reading and under debate. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 23, Community and Regional Affairs, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
39 yeas, no nays.
Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 23, Community and Regional Affairs, has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader, the House. Will the House come back to order? Before the IDEs, we just completed work on the final bill on the daily calendar. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members should have House Concurrent Resolution Number 27, which was distributed, and it should say at the top right, special order. At this time, I move we take this up as a special order, in essence, adding it to the daily calendar.
Are there any objections to bringing up special orders? Hearing no objection, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I move that we adopt House Concurrent Resolution 27 and would request the clerk to read the title of the bill.
Would the clerk please read the title of that resolution?
House Concurrent Resolution Number 27 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, relating to the visit to Alaska by Governor Haoji of the province of Heilongjiang and the special relationship between that province and the state of Alaska.
Second and final reading, having no amendments. Representative Davis.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just have one comment that I'd like to make on this, and I certainly support the resolution, and I'll just bring it to the body, and if anybody else has the same kind of reaction, maybe they can speak to it. And in the first whereas, it talks about on February 5th, we established a relationship of special friendship, and as everyone knows, the people of Heilongjiang have been here before, and there's been a number of people from this body have been to Heilongjiang and back and forth. So I think this is probably the second or third time they've been here, and we established this sister state relationship of I believe it was in 84, and we didn't start it on 84. I think I just answered my question. Thank you.
Okay. Any further debate upon the resolution? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Concurrent Resolution 27 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
39 yeas, no nays.
House Concurrent Resolution 27 has passed the House. Representative Menard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can we revert back up to introduction of guests?
Are there any objections? Hearing none.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, Representative Larson and I have two constituents down, Cliff and Paula Eller. Please help me welcome them.
Okay, we have some final action and some citations on the calendar. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have seven citations on the calendar today. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House adopt the citation.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the citations on today's calendar? Hearing no objections, the citations stand approved. Representative Ulmer.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to move that we take up as a special order one additional citation today honoring Dove Cull.
Are there any objections to special order of business? Chair will take it that the citation has been moved. Are there any objections? Hearing no objection, the citation has been adopted. Mr. Majority Leader.
Just a technical correction on the calendar itself. The first citation was listed as West High Air Force Juno ROTC. It should be Junior, and I would request that the record be corrected.
Would the clerk please take care of that?
Yes.
Okay, that brings us out of the daily calendar down to unfinished business. Any unfinished business to come before this body? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have one item that would be available for reconsideration today. That would be House Concurrent Resolution Number 26, which would suspend the uniform rules, certain uniform rules concerning Senate Bill 53. At this time, I move and ask unanimous consent that that resolution be returned to the Rules Committee.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the House resolution goes back to Rules. Any further unfinished business? Mr. Majority Leader, Representative Gall.
Mr. Speaker, at the request of a few members, I'd like to bring up my reconsideration of House Bill 216 at this time.
Would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
House Bill 216 by Larson and Menard, an act relating to game farming.
Okay. This is bringing up reconsideration on the same day. Are there any objections? Hearing no objection, and the title has been read. Before us in third reading and under debate. Ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 216 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
40 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 216 has passed the House. Any further unfinished business? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like the members to take out their limbo files if they need.
We have two items in the limbo file, and one of them we've had for a few days, and the other is new today, but should be fairly non-controversial, hopefully. At this time, I move and ask unanimous consent, and I'll do these separately, that we enter the limbo file for the purpose of considering House Joint Resolution Number 29.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask the members to contrast the two versions of this particular bill. The Senate committee substitute adds three whereas clauses, and those appear on page 1, lines 23 through 29. That is the only change. At this time, I move that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Joint Resolution 29, thereby adopting Senate Committee Substitute, that's the Resources, the Senate Resources Committee Substitute, for Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 29, and recommend that the members vote yes.
Is there any debate? Are you ready for the question?
The question is, shall the House concur in the Senate amendments to Committee Substitute to House Joint Resolution 29, Resources. Members may proceed to vote.
Does any member fail to vote? The clerk lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
40 yeas, no nays.
The House concurs, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 29, Resources.
Let's pass the House in reconsideration. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I move that the and ask unanimous consent that the House enter the limbo file specifically for the purpose of considering House Bill 46.
Would the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 46, Labor and Commerce, an act relating to regulation of insurance and providing for an effective date.
Okay. Is there any debate? Representative Martin. The House stand at ease. Before the at ease, we had a motion to concur to the Senate amendments to Committee Substitute for House Bill 46, Labor and Commerce. Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to just point out to the members what the changes are and make the motion and my recommendation, and then the chairman of the Senate of the House Rules Committee will explain the bill, the change in some detail. The changes, if the members would look at the Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 46. The changes are in Section 1. That is added. And if the members would look at the Committee Substitute, the House version, back in Section 46, page 31, lines 1 and 2, all those sections that are repealed, you'll see the very last one on line 1 is AS 21.09.210C. And rather than repealing what the that particular subsection, what the Senate has done is now found in Section 1 of the Senate bill. So it's no longer repealed, but it's amended to read as they have it there. And the motion is to concur in the Senate amendments for House Bill 46, thereby adopting the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 46, and I recommend that the members vote yes.
Is there any debate? Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to attempt to explain this one change in the bill. In judiciary, we eventually repealed this, there was a question about the constitutionality of this particular section in law. There's currently a 5-year exemption for domestic insurance companies from the premium tax. Now, we had one attorney with the legal services tell us that it was unconstitutional. The AG's opinion was that it is not unconstitutional, that it's defendable. So I guess there's a debate, and no, not everyone's in agreement on whether it's constitutional or not. There's one domestic company that's currently organizing in Alaska, and they're all Alaskan citizens, and they're organizing with Alaskan capital, and they're trying to set up a domestic insurance company. And the reason this was not brought forth before judiciary is that this particular company, the one that's organizing, didn't know that we were going to repeal this section. So it didn't really have a lot of time to have this worked out. We changed it, the Senate put back in a 2-year exemption, because that was what the people testified was a minimum amount of time that it would take them to get over the hump and become a stable company in Alaska. And we've gone from 5 years down to 2 years. If this company does not organize, or any other company doesn't get in under the window before July 1, then there won't be even a minor question of constitutionality instead of now the muddled question that we have. Mr. Speaker, I had a lot of, I guess, misgivings about deleting this in the first place, because this company has been working, and these Alaskan citizens have been working over the last year or so to set up this company, and all of a sudden we come in and decide we're going to slam the door shut, and it's not a clear constitutional problem. So I would recommend that we concur with the Senate amendment.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, thank you, sir. I raise an objection to this concurrence with the Senate. This particular part of the legislation was entered almost at the last minute, as it is going today, into another insurance bill last year. Now, there's no doubt that this group of people were trying to develop a brokerage firm for insurance for Alaskans, and we want Alaska home, we want Alaska business when we're going over backwards to some exclusive rights and privileges. The problem was, with this special exemption given to this one group that had the potential of developing in Alaska, is they want to be excluded from paying taxes. Everyone else is going to have to pay taxes, whether they're insurance broker of national interest or international interest. So this group would have a significant advantage in capturing various brokerage insurance availability to the public by having this exemption that would last for about 5 years, which would thoroughly decrease the cost of operating in the state. The problem is that other insurance companies around the world and throughout the nation have been insuring Alaskans and been willing to pay the proper taxes accordingly and been giving Alaskans this type of service. So we have two major problems. If special exemptions are going to be given to one group, then they just soon pull out because they're going to have to pay the extra in premiums some other way that this company is not going to pay for the taxes that Alaska is charging. So then, during the interim of last year, the question came up that this is exclusionary, this is highly protective, and a couple of insurance companies expressed to the Attorney General that they'd just sue the state over it. It's that important to them. So with the understanding that the law can be changed, and with the understanding that this would probably be very costly to the state of Alaska, then it came out that this particular aspect of the insurance bill should be repealed. major reason it's no benefit, it's not beneficial to Alaskan and to the consumer, more important than anything else. And when this group was at, made a presentation before the Rules Committee, when we pulled it out of the bills, and I thought that the House acted properly on it the first time in the Rules Committee, because that group said, no, they will not bond themselves. It only takes a little bond. Would you bond yourself to protect the state of Alaska if you got this exclusive right to operate without having to pay taxes? No, we're not going to pay it. Once you make the law, it's your problem. You have to defend us as an insurance company. And I don't think we should get ourselves in that bind. And we have been made, it has been made very clear, Mr. Speaker, as you know, to the Rules Committee that the state of Alaska, if they pursue on this, will be sued. So my question is right now, if you're willing to pay $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 in defense of this particular section of the law, then fine, press the button. If you want that insurance company to pay its own fair bill, to deal fairly and have equal trade in this state like anyone else, then do not accept the concurrence of this Senate substitute. Thank you.
Representative Navarre.
Mr. Speaker, this was not added last year to the law. This has been in the law for a number of years. Last year, we repealed another section in this same in the same title as this that dealt with a difference between the premium tax rates paid by domestic and alien or out-of-state insurance companies. We repealed that because there was a question of liability to the state and a constitutional question that had already been decided at the Supreme Court level. And this question was also debated last year, and the Attorney General's opinion was that this portion was not unconstitutional. This was thrown in judiciary. The recommendation was made that this be repealed. We had arguments in rules, and also they had several arguments on the Senate side. This actually affects two companies. One company that has already organized a number of years ago as a domestic insurance company and put capital in to their company to set up in Alaska has 2 years left to run on the original 5-year premium tax exemption. Now, we're going to cut them out, cut the last 2 years out if we don't concur in this amendment. The other one is that we have a group of Alaskan investors who want to leave their money in Alaska, invest in an Alaskan company, and 2 years is the exemption that has been determined is necessary for them to do that. Now, I have some questions about this policy of premium tax exemption, because what I'd like to protect against is insurance companies from outside setting up a shell company in Alaska simply to take advantage of the premium tax. But this window that we have until July 1, I think effectively takes care of that problem. And the constitutional question is not clear. The AG's office feels that this portion of the law is defendable and constitutional.
Question. Representative Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the debate on the previous subject, and I think it's been a good one. But I would like to draw the body's attention to what I consider to be some salient and very beneficial parts of this legislation. It started off as a bill to make some significant changes in the manner in which Alaskans' policies were canceled. This state has undergone a terrible crisis during which bulk cancellations were occurring across the board. Fishermen were leaving port only to come back and find out their insurance had been canceled on their vessels. And not only had it been canceled, but all the premium that they'd paid up front hadn't been returned to them. So they didn't have any money to even go out and buy replacement insurance policies. This bill goes a long ways towards alleviating that problem. It requires notification of cancellation up front and gives you a sufficient period of time to go out and find other coverage. It also requires one additional thing that I think is really important, and the industry should have been doing this, and of course they weren't, and that is making sure that the check gets back to the policyholder prior to the time that his insurance runs out, when it's been canceled by the carrier. And if they're going to be doing bulk cancellations, they've really got to have some specific reasons for doing so. That's the way it started out, and of course in the compromise process of getting a bill accomplished, some of the more what I thought were some of the better reforms had to be left on the table, and because they are controversial. I think that personally I like to send the message to industry, even the insurance industry, that we encourage you to locate in our state. We want you to be here. We want you to employ our people. And as a consequence, the previous subject debated, I think it sends that message. And I can recall a whole series of industrial acts that this legislature has entered into where we have granted tax incentives to various industries over the years to encourage them to locate here. And I think that this only continues that policy. And it is a significant policy call, as both the speakers have mentioned. Personally, I think I'll come down on the side of granting these people that extension for 2 years. But the work that went into this bill, I really applaud the people who have worked upon it, and I think it does accomplish a great deal. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Furness.
Speaker, we need a brief at ease, please.
The House stand at ease. Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had the bill before us. Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to go back up to introduction of guests, if I can, please.
Are there any objection? Hearing no objection, proceed.
In Gallery A, I have two school board members here with me and also the superintendent. But before I get to introduce them, I'd like to say on behalf of this particular body, I'd like for us to send our greetings to Senator Ferguson, and I'd like you to relay that from the 40 members on us as you see him in Kotzebue. Help me welcome Sophie Ferguson, please, the wife of Senator Ferguson. Also with her, June Nelson on the school board, and also Jerry Covey, the superintendent. So. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any further guests for introduction? Any further debate? Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for the opportunity to speak. Speaker, I have a couple of observations I'd like to share with this body. I serve on the Labor and Commerce Committee, and we heard this piece of legislation. And one of the recommendations, in fact, a very strong recommendation, that we would delete this section from the statute, that is, the section giving the exempt to